Father in heaven, we praise your name. We say, Lord, be thou exalted, be thou lifted above even the highest heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. To God be the glory. Thank you, Lord, for your glory that's over our lives. And we thank you for the word of God. To God be the glory. We receive that word today. We declare the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Even so, let the light shine into our hearts. Let the light shine upon our ways today. We give strength and courage in the name of the Lord. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. I want to speak today on stand fast in the faith and be strong in the Lord. Actually, the full title would be like, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong in the Lord. And many exhortations that Paul gives in one very short verse. In fact, he starts out by saying, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, which ye like men, and be strong in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13 is where we're taking this exhortation from this morning. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, and be strong. Well, be strong in the Lord, that is. So we're going to examine the four things that Paul calls out in this short verse and this exhortation. The first thing is watch ye. That's a call to be watchful and to watchfulness. As a people of God, we must be on alert. We must watch all the time. You know, Jesus commanded his disciples, watch and pray, lest ye enter not into temptation. Matthew 26 and 41. Watch and pray, he told them. Not just pray, but watch and pray. Well, we know what prayer is, but what about watching? What should we watch out for? What should we be on the watch out for? You know, so we're going to look at, that's the first thing we want to look at today. What are the things that we should always be watchful for, physically and also spiritually? You know, how do we watch? I mean, if you are on the lookout for something physically, you're out there looking. Let's say, you know, you're waiting for your ride, Uber or whatever, and you're out there looking, see if they're coming. Or you are expecting something, you know, some delivery or a tow truck to come and pull your car away. You're looking, see, are they coming? Well, if we're looking for the coming of the Lord, you know, be also as men that watch for their Lord. You know, if he comes in the fourth watch, fifth watch, whatever, you're out there. You know, so that's one way of watching other things you may be watching, you know. Then watch, be alert to see what's going on. You can watch the news, see what's going on, so you can see how it tallies with, prophetic events that we know are coming, and so on and so forth. Then there are other areas that we must watch for in the spirit. We must watch against temptation. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 26 and 41. Watch and pray so that you enter not into temptation. So that's one thing that we must watch for. If we're not watchful and we're just careless, we may fall into temptation. The prudent man is watchful, foresees the evil. The naive, you know, and the simple, they just go casually. And they fall into snares and different things. The Bible warns us about the snares of the enemy. We can fall into different things, temptation. What are these temptations that we can fall into? Well, it's not just about sin. Sin is a great one, you know, but there are other subtle snares that the enemy put out there. And if you're not careful and not watchful, we just, you know, fall into that. And Jesus had already commanded us, Paul saying the same thing, you know, be watchful in the spirit. You know, if we are pursuing the things of this world, we're going to fall into temptation. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9. It's a famous quote which I want us to consider today in line with being watchful. Paul was writing to Timothy and warning him about this. You know, they that will be rich. In other words, they're pursuing riches. It's not just that, you know, they desire good things that God has promised, but they want to be rich by all means. Well, they will fall into temptation and a snare. So that's one area to watch against. If you are consumed with these things, the scripture warns us here that you will fall into a temptation, fall into temptation and a snare. So that's one thing to be watchful for. You know, they will also fall into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. I mean, just see how strong the words that Paul is using here, you know, for the pursuit of worldly riches. Look at all the things that all the things that Paul wants against. He said they'll fall into temptation. The temptation to do it by all means, step on everybody, cut corners, do whatever. You know, they'll fall into temptation. And they'll fall into a snare. You know, what is a snare? A snare is like a trap. It doesn't look like it. They're covered up. You know, they make it look, you know, camouflaged, fit into the environment. But underneath is a deadly trap. People set snares and traps, you know, even to catch animals or catch this and that. You know, there's a pit that is there, but they just put like, you know, grass over it, just like the rest of the ground around it. It look like it looks normal, but it's a trap. It's a snare. Yeah, the moment you step into it, boom, the whole thing collapses, and now you're in the ditch. You know, so those that fall into, those that will be rich, pursuing riches, they're going to fall into also many foolish and hurtful lusts. And they will drown them eventually in destruction and perdition. I mean, these are strong words, very strong words. I wonder, you know, the last time that we heard warnings about this, because all we hear is how you could be rich and how you could do well for yourself and how the Lord's going to bless you, which is a great thing. The Lord will bless us. But if you are consumed with it over and above seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, there is a danger that you will fall into various snares. There are some people that, you know, try to get into positions of authority, even in politics, in different places, because they care about the people, looking for what they can gain, the power, the riches that they can gain, you know, and they're going to fall into a snare and, you know, hurtful loss. It's a warning that the Lord places. Now, if God puts you there, that's different. But if you are carnally in pursuit of these things, be careful. It might lead down to destruction. So that's a great warning. Other things that we need to watch for, false doctrine. False doctrine. Doctrine can creep in, you know, in a very, the wrong doctrine can creep in a very subtle way before we realize it. I mean, Jesus told the parable. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like, you know, a woman that took some measures of meal and some small leaven and mixed it all up. Well, false teaching and false doctrine, it can creep in unnoticed. So you got to watch for these things, you know, because Jesus warned us about them. Watch for these things. See how, you know, it can take something that looks normal or looks harmless. Let's read this very short parable. Jesus didn't explain it. Just put it out there. Matthew chapter 13, you know, and verse, 33. Another parable spake he to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole thing was leavened. I've heard some people try to preach that this was a positive way, a good way in which the kingdom of God can grow. That by itself is even false doctrine. It's false teaching. Nowhere in the scripture does the scripture use leaven for a good thing. Everywhere that leaven is spoken about is a bad thing. It's never a good thing. You know, Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Pharisees is always a bad thing. In that place, when he was talking about it, the disciples thought he was talking about bread. Because they were going on a trip and they forgot to take bread, you know. And Jesus said, I'm not talking about bread. I mean, if you didn't take bread, what about all the times that I've fed you almost from nothing? Matthew chapter 16 and verse 6. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. It was never a good thing anytime leaven is mentioned. Paul himself, you know, spoke about it, commanded, encouraged that, you know, we should purge out, therefore, the old leaven. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Your glorying is not good. Don't you know? Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Well, he said, purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, even as you are unleavened. So, unleavened is good. Leaven is bad. And I said, get out the old leaven. Get out from out of there. So nobody should think that, you know, this is, an infiltration of the kingdom of God into the souls of men. You know, I've heard people explain that. It is the snares of the devil. And a creeping, you know, slowly. But before you know it, the whole thing is corrupted. And so it's a little at a time. It doesn't come all at once. You know, it doesn't come all at once. So watch out for that leaven, things that are contrary to the doctrine of Christ. It might look good at first, but there's, you know, there's poison of asp and sting of bees is inside. Yeah, but, you know, it's like a spider's web weaves that thing. It actually looks beautiful. You know, can create, it's like a master in creating a wonderful design, but it's a trap. and it's a snare to those insects. And the thing looks good, and he just let those insects, the spider is watching, the insect comes in there, you know, and he just watching, it looks good, and going towards the center, you know, and looks harmless at first, but when he gets into that snake center, you know, then the spider snaps that thing, and there's no escape, you know. So that's how the devil would trick and draw people in, things that look harmless at first. Even in the end of the age, there's a lot of things that God warned us about that looked harmless at first, you know. But before you know it, there's real great evil there that the Lord has warned about, you know. So let's beware of this leaven. It's never a good thing, and you need to watch out against it. It's never, never, never a good thing. It represents subtlety of the devil. It's like a devil will serve the meal, looks good on the outside, but it puts some poison inside. That's really all he needs. He doesn't need to label the thing poison. You know, the would-be murderer that's trying to poison someone they hate, they're not going to put their table on the table a bottle that says poison and say, come and eat from it. They're not going to do that. You know, but the food is mixed up with poison. You know, just a little poison is enough to make the whole thing poisonous. That's right. So let's be careful. You know, Galatians 5 and 9, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You know, Paul here was quoting the same thing that Jesus said in that parable. It starts out little, but before you know it, it's leavened the whole thing. So that's how false doctrine is. And we should also be careful. You know, this watchfulness and this stand fast, they go together. You know, spiritual drift. You know, we start out in the spirit, but now we're trying to be made perfect in the flesh. You know, and if we read church history, there's always this drift. Every history of revivals, everything that God started, when He poured out revivals, especially in this 20th century, the stories that we've read, powerful, powerful stuff starts out great. And then before you know it, there is a drift. People start to drift towards man-made ideas and different things like that. When the Holy Spirit, when people were spontaneously moving in the Spirit, things were happening. Then after a while, we, you know, settle in, organize everything, plan everything, structure everything, and so on and so forth. And it looks good. I mean, all that stuff. But before you know it, there is no room for the Holy Spirit to move anymore. You know, everything is so planned and so structured, and we all fall into it. You know, in our churches, we fall into this all the time. There's no spontaneity. There's no, we just, everything is planned. We come in the morning, we're going to have a few minutes of prayer. Then we're going to have a few minutes of this and some minutes of praise and worship. And some stuff, and this and this and this, you know. And some churches even hand out a bulletin of how the service is going to go. And even if there's no written bulletin, we have that bulletin in our minds, how the Holy Spirit is going to go. I mean, how the service is going to go. That's a drift from, you know, the Holy Spirit that is leading. And we got everything planned. And then before you know it, you know, the Holy Spirit is grieved. He can't even, you don't give the Holy Spirit room to to do anything. Same thing in our lives. You know, we drift away from the instructions of the Holy Spirit. So watch against these things. The other thing to watch for is the coming of the Lord. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. We got to watch for the coming of the Lord. How do you watch? Well, you know, you are expectant in your heart. You're looking for it. You're even hastening towards it. Making ready, making preparation for the great celebration that's coming. You're doing that in your heart, you know. But if you're not, then you are considered to be, you know, someone that's careless in the spirit. It says, you know, the good man of the house. Watch. Watch ye therefore, he starts out by saying, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house would have known what, you know, in what hour the thief was coming, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to have been broken up. He'd be ready. And Jesus is saying, oh, be also ready. You gotta watch. You don't know the hour the Lord is coming, so be watchful. Therefore, be also ready. For in an hour that you think not, that's his time, the Son of Man is coming. So watchfulness. So when Paul say, watch ye, just two words, but so powerful. Carries a lot, packs a lot of power in those two words. Watch ye. Those are all the things that we must watch for. If we are not watchful, then we are becoming spiritually insensitive. You know, we're not sharp. The Bible says we must have our senses exercised to discern good and evil. But when you are not watchful, you're not doing that. You're doing the exact opposite. Well, those who are watchful, though, Bible says they have their senses exercised, can discern both good and evil. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 14. So that's what being watchful means. Watch for temptation. Temptation can come in subtle ways. You know, watch for the chameleon spirit. That's right. I dropped that one right there. And people that blend in, but they disguise their ways. You know, angel of light. Bible says Satan himself is transformed as angel of light. You know, our churches today, some people come in there, they have different motives of why they are coming in there. A man of God must be watchful and discerning in the spirit. Hallelujah. You know, and don't fall for any of that stuff. Be watchful now. Praise God. He also talks about standing fast in the faith. You know, stand fast in the faith. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means be unmovable. In another place in 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, he said, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Steadfast and unmovable. Well, another place he said, be rooted and grounded in the Lord. You cannot be somebody that has no foundation. You don't have a strong anchor. You are tossed about with every wind of doctrine and every sleight of men. Anything that comes along, you believe it, you don't check it out. But if they say A, you follow. They say B, you follow. Whereas A and B are opposite. You follow A today, you follow B tomorrow. But just like that, you know, up and down. Unstable. Unstable, you know. No. We must be steadfast. But steadfast in what? He says, stand fast in the faith. Don't be standing fast in error. And so people, they hold on to error rigidly. No. But you hold on to the truth. You know, the faith that was once delivered unto the saints in Jude verse 3. We got to contend and stand fast for that faith. You know, the believe like the apostles did. You believe the word of God. You know, what else must we stand fast in? We must stand fast in the word of God. You know, just like it says in Psalm 119, verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled," or "thy word stands fast," you know, in heaven. The Lord speaks. That's right. And it is done. He commands and it stands fast. So we also must stand fast in the Lord. We must stand fast in our faith, the faith that was once delivered. We must stand fast in the word of God too. If Eve had stood fast, she wouldn't have fallen for the trickery of the devil. Stand fast in what God said. Don't let anybody come and twist it up to you. Stay with the word of God. You know, we must also stand fast in the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ. What does that mean? Well, you know, let me read to you something from the second epistle of John. The second epistle of John. There's only one chapter there, I think. So let's read this. This, you know, it said, "I rejoice greatly that I found thy children walking in truth. I received a commandment from the Father. And I beseech thee, lady," not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee. I believe John was writing to Mary. "But that which we received from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandment. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it." That's where I'm going. "For many deceivers entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the faith. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, therefore," you know, check it out. Be careful now. You know, look to yourself. "That we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Now, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." What is then is the doctrine of Christ? Because he's saying we must abide in that doctrine. That means stand fast in that doctrine. What is the doctrine of Christ? Well, we have heard and have read how that Christ was in the beginning as the Word of God, and the Word of God was with God, and the Word of God was God. And God was manifest in the flesh. The doctrine of Christ is in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And it's also in 1 John chapter 5 verse 20. And it's also in Colossians 2 and 9 and other places. I'm going to read some of them to you. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. This is a doctrine of Christ. You know, without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's Christ. Was justified in the spirit. The Holy Spirit came and said, "This is my beloved son." You know, was seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up to glory. That's the doctrine of Christ. He also died, buried, risen again for our justification. Romans chapter 4 verse 25 says, "He was delivered up for our offenses, and he was raised again for our justification." These things are the doctrine of Christ. If you would be saved, anybody that will be saved must recognize that they need a Savior, which is Christ. First, must admit that you are a sinner. And that Christ is the one that was given for our redemption. Paid the price for our sins. That's the doctrine of Christ. Throughout the scriptures, the doctrine of Christ is laid from one book to another. Here again is the doctrine of Christ in the book of Romans chapter 10. You know, he said, well, Christ, you know, descended into the deep. And he rose again from the dead. The word of God is nigh your mouth, he says. This is the word. You must believe in your heart. Well, with the heart, you believe, and with the mouth, you make confession. You must believe that Jesus Christ came into this world to die for your sins. And, you know, that God also raised him from the dead. Yeah? I say, if you do these things, confess it with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe it in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. That's the doctrine of Christ. You know, so that's in Romans, you know, chapter 10 and verse 9. Here again, furthermore, is the doctrine of Christ. In the book of Colossians, you know, chapter 1, we read the following, that Christ, you know, had delivered us from the power of darkness. And had translated us to, you know, a kingdom. I mean, God delivered us, translated us in the kingdom of, the, you know, his dear son, in whom we have redemption. Now, so he's going to talk about that dear son now. The supremacy of Christ, the doctrine of Christ. He's the image of the invisible God. That's the doctrine of Christ. Firstborn of every creature. But before anything was created, the word was spoken. That is also called the beginning of the creation of God, because God spoke first and then things happened. You know, that's the word. By him were all things created. That's the doctrine of Christ. That are in heaven, in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is also the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. All these things are the doctrine of Christ. You know, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. That's the doctrine of Christ. Furthermore, in Colossians chapter 2, we read more about the doctrine of Christ, that in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's Colossians 2 and verse 9. That's the doctrine of Christ. And all these things that the scripture talks about, First John chapter 5 and verse 20 talks, you know, a bit more also about the doctrine of Christ. He said, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. Any time that, you know, there are lessons in the scriptures about Christ and his ministry and who he was, what he did, that's the doctrine of Christ. Have given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. Now, that, he said, this knowledge is, you know, that we have, even this Jesus Christ, is the true God, and he is eternal life. Now, that's the doctrine of Christ. You can't find it any other way. The true God, you know, and the doctrine of Christ. John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. There's been a drift in the things in the church for hundreds of years. I tried to split Christ away from the Godhead. You can't do it. You know, I and my Father are one. That's it. You know, Jesus appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos and he told him, I am Alpha and Omega. That was Jesus speaking. Because he said, I turned to see the voice that spoke to me. Who is this person claiming to be Alpha and Omega? And when he turned, everybody knows who Alpha and Omega is. That's Jehovah. That's Yahweh. You can't, you know, there's one God. Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. That's it. There cannot be three different lords. The Father is Lord, Son is Lord, Holy Ghost is Lord. No, the Lord thy God is one Lord. That's it. You know, neither can there be three gods. You know, slice God up. You know, that's a drift. The church has drifted from the doctrine of Christ. You know, Jesus told John, he said, I am he that was dead. You know, just so you know who's talking to you. Christ, the one that died. I am he that was dead. And now I live forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and death. And I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Yeah, the first and the last. Jesus never called himself the second. called himself the first and the last. You know, although in his ministry as Son of Man, he yielded to the Father, in the Spirit, he had the fullness of the Godhead. There was nothing. Found in John chapter 3 and verse 34, we are told that the Holy Spirit was upon Christ without measure. That's 100%. Nobody else. You know, that's why Jesus said, except I go, the Holy Spirit cannot come. That's it. You know, but he had 100% of it. And then, wow. Then, therefore, now that he's gone, we have the Holy Spirit. All these things are the doctrine of Christ. So you must watch for that doctrine. And if any man comes to you not bearing the doctrine of Christ, well, scripture says, don't even bid him Godspeed. Let him go and leave him to his ways. You know, we have to be careful from the danger of wavering. You know, be steadfast and don't waver. What does wavering mean? Well, James chapter 1 verse 8 talks to you about a double-minded man that is unstable in all his ways. A yo-yo kind of person. Up one day, he's down another way. His words, you can't trust his word. He says one thing, he does another thing. He means one thing, he says another thing. That's not God. God says what he means and he means what he says. And what he says he will do, he does. That's our God. There's no variableness. There's no shadow of turning with him. And if we must be his children, or if we are his children, then we must be in his image as well. You stand on the scripture. No matter what it is, you stand fast, you know, on the commandment of the Lord, even if it costs their life. Revelation chapter 12 verse 11 says, they were not careful for their own lives. They loved not their own lives unto death. It didn't matter. Nebuchadnezzar gave the law. You know, when you hear the sound of music and the tabard and all of these things, you fall down and worship my image. Otherwise, you'll be cast into a fiery furnace, burning with heat and fire. And the young man said, no, we're not going to do it. That's steadfast. That's fiery furnace faith. No matter what it is, they stood right there. Daniel, when he was his own turn to, you know, he knew the commandment of the king, don't pray to anybody except the king for 30 days. They knew it. Set a trap. It was called entrapment. But Daniel stood right there. As his manner was, he did the same thing. Didn't change anything. Was consistent in prayer. Made a prayer. The priest prayer was a business with God. And when it was time, he prayed. Opened his windows like he did before. Didn't care who anybody was going to go reporting. Ended up in the lion's den for it. You know, these were people that were steadfast. Loved not their lives unto death. And God brought him out too. Praise God. Encourage us in the scripture. From the fire can deliver from the lion's den. So we've covered watch. We have also covered stand fast. And I'm going to now cover quit ye like men. Quit ye like men. What does that mean? If you read it at first, it also actually looks like it says you should give up. Because quit is like give up. But it's exactly the opposite. Quit ye like men is an adage that actually means stop being childish. You know, stop being, you know, like a man that is feeble. And it always goes with being strong. You know, there are places in the Bible where, you know, where that phrase is used. This one that we're reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, one place where it is used. Another place where it is used, you see it in 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 9. This one actually helps us to understand it better. And it was the Philistines this time around that used the phrase to strengthen themselves against Israel. You know, these Philistines, you defeat them, they, you know, stir themselves up and come back again. And they're never going to, you know, stay down for the beat. Whack-a-mole. You know, you whack them here. It's a game they play like that here in the U.S. beat it down here, it jumps up in and from another hole. You beat it down, it jumps up somewhere else again. You know, that's those Philistines. They would not give up. You know, and every time the Israel defeated them, they went and strengthened themselves and they came back again. And Israel beat them up again. They go and strengthen themselves. Came back again. So this is what they said. The Egyptians, you know, I mean the, what do you call it? The Philistines, you know, they heard, you know, that, you know, the Lord had returned, you know, when they, you know, when the ark came and the covenant of God, I mean, the ark of the covenant came back, people shouted. There was a large cry and everybody shouted with a great shout. The Bible said the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What meaneth this noise?" As 1 Samuel chapter 4 verse 6. And people understood that the ark of the Lord was coming to the camp. And the Philistines were afraid. But they said, "God has come into the camp." Say, "Woe unto us. Not been any such thing before. Woe unto us. We shall deliver out of the hand of these mighty gods," they thought. And these are the gods who smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Now, so look at what their response was. The fear that was in their heart, because they heard that God had returned to the camp of the people of Israel. You know, and look at the fear in their heart. But see their response. "Be strong. Quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews. You know, even as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight." So this quit like men is not, doesn't mean give up. It's actually the opposite. It's telling you that, look, get that weakness out of your mind. Get that weak stuff out of here. You know, strengthen yourself. Get up and fight. That's what quit ye like men means. And there are some examples of people like that. In the face of all odds, you know, in the face of all odds, God told Joshua in the beginning, you know, when he was facing all the different countries and different nations that they had to fight through to get to the promised land. In Joshua 1 and 9, the Lord told him, "Be strong and of a good courage." So this quit ye like men goes together with being strong. Be strong and of a good courage, the Lord told him. And David was a man that strengthened himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. The story in the, you know, Ziklag, 1 Samuel chapter 30, when he came back fighting alongside the Philistines, and he found that, you know, Amalekites had come and broken down their city and burnt everything, carried away their wives and their children, and the souls of every man were distressed, and they murmured against David that, "You are the one that carried us to a battle that wasn't even our concern. Now our wives are gone." They thought of stoning him. His heart was grieved. Everybody was grieved. And David encouraged himself in the Lord, strengthened himself. "My soul," he said in Psalm 42, "why art thou disquieted within me?" You know, this is how you strengthen yourself in the Lord. "Be strong in the Lord," he told himself, "for I shall yet praise him." Encourage himself in the Lord. God will encourage you. You can encourage yourself. "In God will I praise his word. What time I'm weak and afraid, I will look to his word," he said. Now, when he came up against Goliath in 1 Samuel 17, well, everybody else was scared. Not David. You know, and when David was asking, "Hey, who shall be done? What shall be done to these Philistines?" As he are boasting all day long, "If we take him out, what shall be done?" He knew he could take him out. And his older brother Eliab said, "Look, I know the pride of your heart. Go home. What are you doing here? You come to spy out the battle. You don't belong here. You're not even trained. Go home. You're going to get yourself killed." And David said, "Is there not a cause?" You know, because I hear this man blaspheme every day, but I don't see any challenge. I mean, I hear his challenge and I don't see any response. He said, well, I told you, go home already. This battleground is not for you. So I said, battle? David said, what battle? I don't see any battle. All I hear is a bunch of cowards like cowering in the corner. You know, leave me alone, he said. Went to another person. Yeah, said the same thing. Went to another person. Said, asked the same thing. Finally, word got to the king. I said, young man here is, you know, asking stuff, saying stuff. He said, bring him to me. Brought the man to the king. He said, what is this that I hear that you are saying and asking around and so forth? This man is a man of war. David said, well, yeah, so is the Lord. The Lord is a man of war too, you know. Why are you guys, you know, saying this man is, you know, defying the armies of Israel? This man is challenging the armies of the living God. You know, David, approaching this battle already in the spirit instead of in the natural like the others. And he said, look, I'm going to tell you something. Because the king said, well, what are you thinking of? Well, I said, I can go and fight this man. I'll take him out. King looked at him from top to bottom. You take him out. This man, his spear alone weighs more than you. He said, look, let not the king say so. I'll tell you something. You know, when I was keeping my father's sheep in the bush, in the wilderness, a lion came up against me, took one of the flock when I wasn't looking. But I went after him. I got into hand-to-hand combat with the lion. I got back that you did what? Yeah, I sure did. I'll show you these scars to prove them. You know, and then a bear rose up against me. And I went out against him at all. When he rose up and pounded his chest like that, he looked as big as this man. I've seen it before. This he was even taller than this man that's out here, you know, blowing his mouth up. Let me be, and I'll take this man out. You know, David was strong in the Lord and in the power of God's might, not in his own strength. He said, the Lord delivered me from the lion, delivered me from the bear. He will deliver me also from this Goliath. They said, you can't do it. You cannot do it. He said, I'll do it too. Because the Lord is with me. Glory to God. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Huh, I'm coming out victorious. I will have his head today. Can you imagine, you know, a young teenager, maybe 16, 17 years old in there, and all these men of war couldn't do it, but he was strong in the Lord. And he did it too. And remember, you know, strong in the Lord also means when things happen to you, you do not let these things move you. Paul said in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, none of these things move me. Yeah, you know, I don't care what, you know, I may go through this. You know, he said, look, the Lord already told me all these things that I'm going to suffer for his name's sake. And, I, you know, whatever I suffer, it doesn't really matter. You know, I mean, I already know that bonds and afflictions, Holy Spirit is witnessing that already. Everywhere I go, I'm going to be in bonds. I'm going to be afflicted. I'm going to be beaten up and all these things. I mean, I already know it. Holy Spirit already showed them to you. But none of these things move me. Glory to God. Yeah. Now that's someone who's strong in the Lord. He said, look, I don't care, you know, what man will do to me. I am ready. I must finish my course with joy, and I must finish the ministry that I received of the Lord Jesus. He began to say these things in Acts chapter 20, verses 24, you know, to verse 25 and 26 and all that, you know. So he was strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know, the trials and tribulations, testings and trial, you know, all the things that come up against him did not even discourage him or make him quit, but he drew even more strength. Praise the Lord. And, you know, and he said, you know, he encouraged the same people. I mean, the people also to do the same, you know, that none of you, he said, don't be moved with all these things that you've heard that we are suffering through, Don't be moved by it. I'm not moved by it. You know, and don't let any of these things, you know, move you either. You would encourage the people and you would talk to them like that, you know. So God wants us to be strong in the Lord. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, he wrote to the believers, he gave his own testimony. None of these things move me. Then he told, the people around him too, and the people that he was encouraging, that don't let any of these things move you either. You know, Acts 20, 24, none of these things move me. 1 Thessalonians 3 and 3, same thing. You know, don't let these afflictions move you. You know, no man should be moved by these things. You know, heard that I'm suffering and going all these things. We are unto therefore appointed already. We know that. Holy Ghost witnesses these things. You know, but he was strong in the Lord. He said, look, don't be worried about it. Don't be moved by this thing. I'm not moved. Neither should you be. These things must needs be. We must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom. He told them, you know, these are the things, you know, but you got to be strong in the Lord, you know. And the scripture tells us in other places too, all the things, you know, that we must go through, you know, in order for us to be victorious. We must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom. He told them in Acts chapter 14 and verse 22. Much tribulation. But in all these places, he was encouraging them that, look, don't let tribulation cause you to lose your stand. Stand fast in the Lord, no matter what is going on. You know, and the scripture encourages us to also stand fast in the things of the scripture that we have heard from the Lord. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to those things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. So hold on to faith, you know, and hold on to the things of God. Don't let these things go. Now, where do we get strength from? Well, when he said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Well, our strength is not from us. It's from the power of God's might. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. But you must not see yourself as feeble. You know, Daniel 11, 32, the last half of it says, the people that do know their God shall be strong. And you must do exploits. You know, you got to know that you are strong in the Lord. Well, your strength actually comes from the Lord. Jesus told him, said, look, when you are weak, you have my strength. And strength is sufficient for you. You know, Psalmist said, the Lord is my strength and my shield. Psalm 28 and verse 7. The Lord is my strength. You know, God supplies strength for us in our battles and everything that we go through. That's the strength that David had, the courage he had to go up against Goliath and lion and bear and so forth. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4 and 13. Now, this is the source of our strength. Not just physical strength or just strength in my own strength. You know, no. Strength comes from the Lord. Strength also comes from prayer. Jude verse 20 says, you know, building up your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Strengthening yourself through prayer. And strengthen yourself through prayer. Just like Jesus told them, we started with that at the beginning. Pray, lest you fall into temptation. You know, the word of God is also our strength. We garnish strength from the word of God every day. You know, some weeks ago, we did a study of Psalm 119 and powerful, powerful things. You know, Listen to what he said in verse 28 of Psalm 119. Strengthen me, O Lord. Say, my soul melted for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. So we see that strength comes from the word of God. Holy Ghost also gives strength. You shall receive power. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Our power is strength. The strength of the Lord, the power of his might comes through the Holy Spirit as well. You know, so we must receive strength from the Lord like that. The Lord will strengthen the hands, you know, that hang down, the knees that are feeble. It will cause the heads that be raised to be, that bow down to be raised. Strength, you know, when you are weak. That's what Jesus told Paul. He said, look, because my grace is sufficient for you. And my strength, glory to God, my power is made perfect in your weakness, Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. By these scriptures, we know that strength comes from the Lord, not by our own physical strength. You know, Hannah, when she was praying, said, by strength shall no man prevail. But your strength comes from the Lord. You know, my strength comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Isaiah wrote it this way in the book of Isaiah chapter 40. Famous scripture that we always read. He giveth power to the faint. Glory to God. And to them that have no might, increaseth strength. That's Isaiah 40 and verse 29. So where is your strength coming from? My strength cometh from the Lord. My strength cometh from the Lord. If you make the Lord your strong tower and your strength, like David always did, then, you know, the Lord will always give you victory. Praise God. My strength, he said, cometh from the Lord. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiced, and with my song will I praise him. Glory to God. Psalm 28 and verse 7. And then Psalm 121 and verse 2. My help cometh from the Lord. That help can be help in a time of need. Help in a time of trouble, like we talked about yesterday. Help when you are weakened. Strength when you are weakened comes from the Lord. Psalm 121 and verse 2. Praise God. And in the days of Jesus, he, you know, gave us examples. I trusted the Lord for strength, you know. Get up early in the morning and pray. And he said, the Son can do nothing except that which the Father does through him. And that's how we also must be. And finally, at last, Paul said, finally, my brethren, Ephesians 6 and 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And John, you know, he wrote to the believers, he said, ye young men, you know, I have written unto you because you are strong. That's right. He didn't tell them that they were weak. You are strong and you have overcome the devil. Yeah, that's how he encouraged them. Let's read 1 John chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. You know, encouraged everybody, fathers, older people, younger people, and everything. And particularly for the young people, he talked about, you know, he highlighted their strength. And said, yeah, you know, strength is, you know, with the youth. He talked to them about it. So here's what he said. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. You know, I write unto you, you know, fathers, you know, and so forth, you know, because you have known him that is from the beginning. And then right, and he says again, written unto you, young man, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. That's the thing that makes us strong, the word of God. So, last but not the least, let me add my own exhortation to it all. Don't be a pushover for the devil. And don't be a ping pong for the devil either. He smack you this way, smack you that way. No. put up with that stuff from the devil. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. In the book of 1 Peter 5:8, we are told, resist the devil. you got to resist him. Don't even give him any room. Neither give place to the devil. Ephesians 4:27. Resist him. Don't give place to him, but resist him. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. We got to be sober, be vigilant, watch and so forth. The devil is going around as a roaring lion, seeking whom devour. He said, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Resist him. He resist the devil, we're told, and he will flee from you. You got to fight the good fight of faith. And you got to stand your ground. Be that last man standing, if so be. having done all, he said, stand. Stand therefore in the liberty where God has made you free. When you have done all, you must still be standing. Glory to God. The devil knock you down. Don't really stay down. Get up again. That palm tree that the wind blows this way, it's almost down, but it swings back again. And even if you hit the canvas, Micah says, look, I'm not going to stay down for the count. Micah 7:8. But when you knock me down, oh my enemy, I'm going to get up. A righteous man falleth 7 times, but he rises again. That's the key thing. It's not about, life might knock you down at times, but the question is, are you going to stay down for the count? That's the thing. 1, 2, you can take the 8 count, but you better get up. You better, and when they are counting that thing, and the referee is counting that, your adversary on the other corner, they're telling you, stay down. And then in your corner, your manager and the people in your corner are telling you, get up, eye of the tiger, get up. and the Holy Spirit is in your corner. That's right. Saying, I will help you. I will strengthen you. And therefore, be bold and be strong, be courageous, be not afraid, and neither be thou dismayed. I'm with you. I'm in your corner. The Lord said, it is he that doth go with you. The Lord is telling you, get up. Don't stay down there. Get up. You belong up here. Praise God. Don't stay down there like chicken. You belong like an eagle. Eagle is flying. It's not roosting on the ground like a chicken. No. You belong up here. Some months ago, I told you, I said, your Father is spirit. Jesus said so in John 4:24. Heavenly Father is spirit. Spirits of just men made perfect in Hebrews 12. Your brethren are spirits. You yourself, Bible says, you are joined to the Lord. You are one spirit. What are you doing acting like a man? Act like a spiritual person. Glory to God. So that's our exhortation today. Quit ye like men. Stop behaving like a man that will die. Like sons of men that are nothing. You behave like you are a child of the king. Glory to God. You got the God DNA inside of you. That's right. Praise God. And you act accordingly. You act accordingly. Praise God. Our God is a God of strength. He said in Isaiah 62:8, who can wrestle down my arm? I have sworn by myself and by the right hand of my righteousness. When he flexes his arms like that, the psalmist knew it. He said, thy right hand and thy holy arm are gotten you the victory. God is a strong man of war. Glory to God. You can contend with him, you know, and the Lord, he will fight for you. But most importantly, in this lesson today, the lesson is for you to encourage yourself in the Lord. And we're encouraging you to be watchful, to be sober, to be vigilant. That's right. You know, to stand fast in the faith, to quit ye like men, and to be strong in the Lord. Praise God. Well, that's our lesson for today. I'm going to pray over the room. Now, Father, we thank you for the word of the Lord, encouragement to our hearts. On this day, you have told us to be watchful, to stand fast in the faith, to quit, you know, this complaining and pushover attitude, but to be strong in the Lord. Glory to God. Even as the scriptures have commanded us. So be strong in the Lord. You have given us command, Lord, to be watchful against the things that creep in and defile our souls. You know, even a pursuit of riches, those that were rich, that want to be rich, they will fall into many hurtful lusts. That warned us against false doctrine and the like. And so many things today. Give us understanding, Lord, concerning these things. And put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments. Well, children of God, put on your strength. Glory to God, for the Lord is your strength. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Stir yourself up. Bestir yourself in the strength of the Lord. The psalmist said, I will go in the strength of the Lord God Almighty. Ha, mashatori basara kabloria. I will go in the strength of the Lord God Almighty. And I will not be pushed over. You know, I will show his power to this generation. Glory to God. Show, you know, his glory to everyone that is to come. Psalm 71 and verse 16 says, I will go in the strength of the Lord, and I will make mention of his righteousness, even of thine only. Lord, strengthen us to go in your strength. Every day, wherever we go, to God be the glory. And whatever we do all in the name of the Lord and in the strength of the Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.